Attention, mill spouses, families, and service members. It's now time for another empowering episode of Army Wife Talk Radio, the leading and longest running podcast of its kind. AWTR is here to engage, educate, and encourage you by sharing dynamic interviews, social media connections, news, and empowering military life information. Here are your AWTR hosts, your Army Wife Network command team.
Hello, listeners. This is Amy Fisher, your Deputy Director of Empowerment, coming at you today from the D.C. area. This is show number 938, and I want to talk to you today about the dangers of social isolation. So I know that I tell everyone to give yourself about a three-month window. When you move to a new station, UPCS, you know, you've got to give yourself some time. You need to give your spouse some time to get used to the new job. You're setting up the house. You might be getting the kids settled. And we kind of go through a period of where we may not even know anyone there. You might have heard of a friend of a friend that you might get a hold of, but nobody's really reached out to you. And it just becomes a little bit of a lonely time. And I know that we all know what those times are like. But what happens when that lingers on and you're coming up on 5-6 months or even longer? And that can just become miserable. And that's what I'm talking about today. So now look, this is by no means a pity party talk. We don't do that. Right? We mill spouses are the toughest people I know, and we get through it, whatever the it may be. And so I know that each one of us have our own stories, and we've had times, me personally, where the last couple of years for me was extremely rough at our post. It was very, very small. I went from a giant post at Fort Campbell with tons of people around to the Palm, if anybody knows where that is. It's in Monterey, California, and it was a very, very small post. And at the height of the pandemic, it was shut down even more than usual. And it just became a very lonely place, honestly, for a couple of us. So we know ourselves firsthand that spouses of service members endure experiences that many people outside the military just do not comprehend. The constant moving can lead to feelings of anxiety, isolation, depression. It gets harder on your kids as they get older, so military teens. And there are studies out there that show even long-term, you know, post-traumatic stress disorder, lasting damages, those constant interruptions in marriages and families. Other people just don't live like that. Like, let's be honest, we do a lot more of the moves and the switching and the getting our kids in and out, husbands coming and going. And I know, again, the pandemic made it a little worse. I think I came out a little more awkward for it after having so much time of not being able to get together with my fellow spouses and talk about things. And so when you talk about the compounded time of all the things that we've already mentioned, and then not having someone to talk to or someone in our corner, you know, the medical reports are coming out. We know the long-term damages. We see the need for mental health among our families and for our military members as well. But what about just for us spouses? We, I think, could be doing a better job of not only paying attention to ourselves and self-care, but also paying attention to others that have been in our situation. And we can be helping each other out. And that's what I'm talking about today. So if you find yourself in a spot to where you feel like you've tried an FRG meeting, it didn't work for you, or excuse me, SFRG, you've tried to go to a coffee, you know, you've kind of found yourself in a rut to where not only you're not making friends, you're not making any connections, and you don't feel like you're fitting in, what can we do about that? So I'm going to talk about three tips that you've probably heard before, but we're going to go over them again anyway. Number one is we might need to ask ourselves, one, whose problem is this? And possibly, could I be a part of that problem? Or am I trying anymore, right? Now, I say this knowing that I've moved about 12 times at least, if not more, in 16 years. And sometimes you just feel like it's a routine. You show up, you get introduced, you move on, you make some light connections, some polite chit-chat, and then you go on with your day, and you don't feel like you really connected with anybody. And I think I've realized that sometimes I can probably be a little bit of part of the problem. You know, I talked a while back about our circle of control and how it's very small, much smaller than we'd like probably, and how we can only really control our emotions, thoughts, reactions, etc. We can't control the things that are going on around us. So that's kind of, you know, right where I'm at. In our circle, are we doing enough to truly find our tribe, to find our people, to find some people that we can talk to? So recently, I mentioned that California was a little bit of a lonely place for us. But we've gotten to a new location and we're doing our best to get out there and meet the people. Like I said, I'm in the DC area, and I've even gotten to the point, I think, where I don't know if anybody can relate to this, but I'm even hiding behind the kids. You know, the husband is settled and doing great, and now I'm working on the teens, and I'm kind of like, oh, once you guys get plugged in somewhere, then I'll start getting plugged in. Well, that's a little bit of a cop-out, and I know that. So the last couple of weeks, I've really been pushing myself out of my comfort zone, and I am an extrovert, so this should be easy, but like I said, I feel like I've been a little bit more awkward since the pandemic, but going to the coffees, walking up to just random strangers and being like, hi, how are you? When did you get here? I just moved here in July. And it's not gone over, you know, super smooth, but I have made a few real friends and I'm starting to have lunch with people. So I'm driving around the other day with my 13-year-old and we're talking about, I'm actually about to take her to a new youth group. And she brought up how in California, she did try a youth group for a few weeks there and did not really make any real connections. And then she even reminded me that, Mom, the youth guy must have felt so bad for me because I was sitting by myself that he came over to talk and to see how I was doing. And I thought, wow, okay, let's talk about that. Because at first, like any mom, you know, I hate when my kid is struggling. I think we've all been there. And our kids have been through enough, right? We've moved plenty. They have to start over. They start schools. They're homeschooling. They may not make friends. It's been rough all around. And so, man, when you hear it from your own kid that nobody invited her into conversations, nobody made an effort to talk to her, and she's feeling left out, and now here she is about to put herself out there again, I, of course, want to pull over and just do all I can to, like, make sure that she's okay. But I did start asking her questions because for a second, I had to remind myself too that she is more of an introvert than I am. She's not like the other kids. She has her own way of doing things. And really, once again, that circle of control, the only person who can change any of this was her. So again, we start chatting about it and I asked her, well, when those kids in California were doing their thing, did you walk over and try to talk to them? And she kind of said, well, I walked over and stood there for a minute. And I said, okay, well, did you say hi? Well, sometimes, and they said hi back. Okay. And then she mentioned, you know, maybe somebody complimented her sweater and she really didn't know what to say. Or somebody started talking about something that she didn't know anything about and she just zoned out. And I asked her, I said, did you make that face that you make with us? I mean, ladies, I think we all know the RBF that some of us might have. Well, I promise you, my 13-year-old has it. And she can make somebody feel a little off very quickly. And we talked about how, well, I just, you know, and looked down or I walked off and just sat and pretended like you were texting me and looked at my phone. Okay, I totally get that. You're having an awkward moment. You need an out. Dude, take that fake phone call, right? But as we talked about that, she kind of had a light bulb moment. Like, oh, maybe she was struggling because, you know, she was trying to look cool, calm, and collected on the outside. But on the inside, she was shy and nervous and didn't really know how to open up to people, and in her shyness, it might have come across like she didn't care or that she didn't really want to be involved when she walked off and sat down. She knows that she freezes up, but what she didn't realize is that she might be putting out there she doesn't even want to be there. And so we talked about the facial expressions, the body language, and I even told her, look, when you're cute still, it looks like you're shy, but as you get a little older, I think we all know, have you ever had somebody walk in the room and you almost feel like they're looking down at everybody, or they even come across snobby, and you're just like, do I even want to approach that person? Well, what I have learned over the years is that person is probably more than likely super shy, freaking out on the inside, does not want to walk into that room. And so I will usually make a beeline to that person and say, hey, how are you doing? Welcome. Because that can always come across looking the wrong way, and I know that's not what most people are meaning to put out there. Now, there are some, but that's a different conversation. So as we talked about that, her eyes were opened. We talked about opening lines, maybe some icebreakers, how to return a compliment, even honestly creating a little alter ego for herself so that when she walks up, she kind of has a different personality picked out that will help her adjust a little bit better. But yeah, I mean, really, you're meeting somebody for the first time. You don't really know how to act. So sometimes I think we just need a little bit of help. So as adults, I think we can slip into that as well. You know, we tend to wait on the other people to come and welcome us. We tend to wait on somebody to invite us into that conversation. And if we're not watching those signals that we're putting off, well, we need a reminder that that's on us too, right? I mean, while it would be great to be greeted, brought into the right group, introduced right away to some like-minded fellow spouses, moms, book club, dinner, coffee, it's not always going to happen that way. That's actually very rare. And the truth is, it's hard to approach someone, let alone somebody that's standing there with their RBF on, or just not moving, or not even looking like they want to put out an effort. right? And I know more than anybody else that there are plenty of factors that will prevent us from wanting to step into that new situation. Some of us have anxiety, fear of rejection, and I mean, to be honest, some people out there have not been super welcoming, and I don't think they mean to be that way either. But we have a choice, right? We can either choose to sit back and keep waiting for that perfect moment to happen, or we can get up and do something about it. It's not on everybody else to make us feel comfortable, welcome, and there. It's not on our spouse, it's not on our kids, it's not even on the unit. It is only on us, our circle of control, remember? So it's our responsibility. But it'll be worth it if we get out there and try. So that's number one. Number two, kind of a further along here, but getting proactive. I know that sounds so easy. So when we moved this time from California, we left our Coastie daughter behind. She's the Coast Guard, she's in San Francisco, and she is now, you know, adulting and doing all those things. And I keep telling her, you have to get out there and meet people besides just doing your shift work. And she's told me that she's tried several churches, she's tried to go to different things, and I just keep pushing her, like go for a walk, join a yoga or a pottery class, go into a yoga hot class, anything that's maybe even out of your comfort zone, you just never know where you might meet someone, and you might meet a friend. So you have to just keep trying and trying and trying. And I'll tell you, I've seen some clever things lately. I know that the Facebook pages are not always the most positive places, but I have seen some ladies put themselves out there almost like a dating profile, like looking for a new friend, and they kind of list their age or how many kids they have, if they like to go on walks, if they like to hike, if they like to just drink wine and watch TV shows. I love those. I have to tell you, I read them and I get so happy when I see, you know, 10 to 15 comments filling up their section, offering to be that friend and offering to be there for them. I think that's just amazing. So I say, go for that. If that's comfortable for you to put yourself out there online, do that, but then show up, right? And I'll tell you something else, find an extrovert that will help you. If you know somebody, you go to a meeting and you see that person that's nodding and smiling at everybody, making the rounds, shaking hands, that's who you need to find. You need to go friend them and just ask them to almost be your buddy. And that is a good one for me. And that also kind of goes into number three, to be there for others. You might be in a place right now where you already know everybody. You've made the rounds. You've moved back for the second time and feel very comfortable. That is awesome. I am so happy for you. Now, also, I want you to go to those meetings or go to those coffees and look for the person that needs some help. And remember what it was like when you weren't in this place. When you see somebody standing in the corner, you see somebody looking shy. You can even offer to be that extrovert for them. I had at Fort Campbell a fun experience where we had, in our personal group, there was eight of us. I had already been there before. I was pretty comfortable. I knew friends. I had a hair salon and a dog groomer, the whole thing. And my other wives were pretty new, and some were introverts and had to start meeting the people, going to their meetings, meeting their battalion commander spouses and all the things. And on the front end, I just put out a blanket statement of, hey, I am an extrovert. I have kids that are old enough to stay home alone. I will be your person. If you just aren't sure, you will bring me as your tag along person to your coffees, to your meetings, whatever you want. I will come in with you. I will stand there, support you, help you make the rounds and meet people. I'll help do the icebreakers and small talk. I mean, goodness, I don't mind making a fool of myself. I do that plenty. And a couple of people took me up on that, and I loved being there for them. I loved being able to just even walking them, driving them there and wishing them luck and being their encourager on the way in, because some of us just need that extra boost, especially right now and in those new situations. So be that person for somebody else. Okay, so we're talking about, are you the problem, or could you use a refresher? Are you being proactive, and can you be there for others? I know that these three things were not mind-blowing to you. I get that. I just also think sometimes it helps to hear some other people's experiences. And I just want to put out there that you need to keep trying, and you try some more. And if you aren't sure where to start, and you're sitting here going, okay, look, that's me. I haven't gotten out there, or I'm hiding behind my kids, or I'm using whatever as an excuse, then I encourage you to reach out to us. You know, on Army Wife Network, all the things, the blogs, the Facebook posts, we have a post with the most that talks about different locations. And I promise, I'm putting this out there right now, that I will be your extrovert, even if it's just online. If you can't find somebody or you're not sure, you message us, message me, Amy. Okay, you can find me at Army Wife Network or on Facebook, anywhere else. Tag me and I will help personally find you a friend, or I will find a friend to find a friend. Okay, we will do a matchmaker session and hook you up with somebody that you can relate to that will help you get out there and start meeting people. All right, everybody. Thanks for listening. Thanks for tuning in today. I appreciate it. We look forward to connecting with you guys on Instagram and Facebook and anything else that we can ever do for you. Please feel free to reach out. We would love to connect and hear from you. Till next time, again, this is Amy Fisher, your Deputy Director of Empowerment, signing out.
Thank you for tuning in to Army Wife Talk Radio. The views and opinions expressed in our show are personal. AWTR is in no way affiliated with the Department of Defense or any other branch of the armed services. Inclusion in our show does not reflect endorsement by the DOD, any local government, or their agencies. Until the next episode, head over to armywifenetwork.com to connect with all of our engaging resources. Engage, educate, encourage. AWN is your source for military life empowerment.